Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going to get into that a little bit right now with a gentleman who's been with us before. Happy to have him back. He's Jeff Risden, and he writes for Real GM. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Risden, JeffRisdon. And Jeff joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Great to be back with you guys.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. I think it's really interesting heading into this draft because we'll get to the Browns in a second. But the first thing that I just keep looking back at, last year Arizona trades up to get Josh Rosen. This year they get the number one pick. They have Cliff Kingsbury as their head coach. And he had already said, boy, if I had the number one pick, I'd take Kyler Murray. Well, now he has the number one pick. It looks like they're going to take Kyler Murray. Should they and will they?
I think they will. I personally would not make that move. You have so much invested in Josh Rosen. Now, granted, they've already paid the big part of his salary. If you look at what that team was last year, they were terrible around him. He wasn't great, but he didn't get much help either. Their offensive line was absolute trash. You know, they were with and without David Johnson. They had receiver problems. I don't understand how you can give up on a guy that quickly, saying fully aware of what the Browns have done in past years. So maybe cutting bait on a guy that you don't believe is the right answer, I guess, is the way to go. But, yeah, I do think it's going to happen. I can't fathom them doing it, but, I mean, it's a very unusual situation when they fire a coach after a year. The GM knows that he has to get it right. If the new coach wants a different option, if you're invested in the coach that way, I guess you have to make that move. But it's bizarre, man.
I agree with you completely. I thought hiring Kingsbury was bizarre. Here's a guy who yes. wasn't even a 500 college football coach, and he's getting an NFL job.
He's got a great reputation as a offensive guru, but that was in college in the Big 12. They don't play a lot of defense in the Big 12, in case you haven't noticed. I don't get it.
What would Josh Rosen bring them if they decide to move him?
My best guess is you have to go back a few years to when the Houston Texans traded for Matt Schaub. They got 2 second-round picks for him. I think that's probably the range that they're going to be looking at. Is it going to be Washington? Is it going to be Miami? Who knows yet, but that seems to be the general consensus that they will get a second-round pick this year and next year, which, you know, for number one, he was the number 10 overall pick a year ago.
Yeah.
That's a nice little bargain for a team that needs a quarterback.
And they traded up for him, so there you go.
Jeff, let's jump into the Browns here for a second. I thought you had the tweet of the day yesterday. It's so weird to me. This is your tweet from yesterday. It's so weird to me how many Browns fans think Joe Schobert is awful but believe Duke Johnson is a top 20 NFL running back. Give me your motivation. Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff going around yesterday with Patrick Peterson not showing up. There's a lot of Browns fans that are trying to make the connection that we can trade Joe Schobert for Patrick Peterson. And then there's a lot of people who think that a lot of the mentions, and Ken Carmen was one of the guys who took the brunt of this, there's a lot of enmity out there towards Joe Schobert, and I don't get it. Yes, he missed a lot of tackles last year, but he played behind a defensive line that didn't protect him and a scheme that isn't ideal for him. You know, he's not a downhill, you know, blitzing linebacker. He's never going to get 8 sacks a year. You know, this isn't the assassin in the middle anymore. The defense doesn't call for that. He played hurt, by the way, too, so you have to think back a year earlier than that. He was arguably the best coverage linebacker in the league. Still wasn't bad at it last year. Earned a Pro Bowl berth. Is young. Is still an ascending talent. I think the world of him. I think he's one of the best inside linebackers in the league. But how many fans trash him? And I go to one of the unfortunate parts of my job as the managing editor of the Browns Wire is I am responsible for moderating the comments on Facebook. That's just the worst part of my day. And anytime that Joe Schobert gets mentioned, it's almost always invariably negative. People just don't like him for whatever reason. I don't get it. But then there's, juxtapose that with, the love of Duke Johnson, who is a very ordinary, average number 3 NFL running back. He was the best player on a terrible team. And he was a good soldier about it. And I understand why people like him. He's a very likable dude. I like him a lot, but he's being overrated so much by so many people in the fan base. He is a very good receiving running back who is a more of a role player in a good offense rather than a feature back. And the disconnect between reality of what those two are and how they're perceived by certain segments of the Browns fans, it's crazy to me.
Is Duke on the – I've asked this question a bunch of times this week. I'm just curious your answer. Is Duke Johnson on the team Sunday?
I don't think so, no. I think he's going to get traded as part of a package. I don't think he's going to go straight out. I think it's one of those deals where Dorsey packages, let's say, 49 and Duke Johnson to move up to 34 or something like that. That's kind of where he's going to go.
What do you think he could – if they don't move – put him in a deal to move up, you know, with a pick. And Jeff, that's kind of what I thought would happen, that he would be part of something to move up. But what if he's not? If they just trade him flat out for a draft choice, I'd hang on to the guy if all I can get for him is a fifth. Would you?
Yeah, same here. And I think John Dorsey would too. I think he does. He said it earlier this week, and I do believe when he said it that, you know, there is value there. They do intend on keeping him unless they get overwhelmed with an offer that would make sense for them. They're not just going to give him away to get rid of him. Yes, he has demanded a trade and probably is more unhappy than what he lets on publicly even, but he's still a quality player. You've got to have a bridge there too when Kareem Hunt is ready. I happen to like Dontrell Hilliard. I think he's a pretty good back, and I'd like to see what he can do, but he isn't as accomplished as Duke Johnson. There's for a team that believes it's going to contend, and they should believe they're going to contend, just giving away an asset like that doesn't make any sense.
Do you believe the Browns will get back in the first round this weekend?
Thursday night, tomorrow night. I think it's a bit too much of a jump. Now, the caveat would be if it only costs them this year's second and next year's second, but I don't see that happening. They would have to give up next year's first. Now, if it's a player that Dorsey and Kitchens and those guys feel will really put them over the top this year, maybe, but that's a long shot because moving up that far, you're going to be at the highest you can probably get is, you know, 28, 29, 30, that range. That's still moving up a lot. And you're giving a premium pick or a lot of, you know, bounty to another team that's contending against you. I'm not sure that John Dorsey wants to do that to help out a team that he might wind up running into in the playoffs.
Jeff Risden joining us, works for Real GM, NFL Draft, also the managing editor for the Browns Wire and the Lions Wire. What do you think it would take player-wise? Who would have to be there? What position group, Jeff, for John Dorsey to think, yeah, I got to go get this guy?
I think offensive tackle, if it's the right guy, if a guy like Andre Dillard falls, the guy's a pass-blocking marvel. He's not very good in run-blocking, but you don't pay your left tackle what teams pay him to be a run blocker. I think he's a candidate if the right defensive tackle. The big one that gets speculated a lot is Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle out of Mississippi State, who's probably going to miss 2019 because he tore his ACL in February. He would have been a top 10 pick without that injury. Is that worth it? Can Dorsey, you know, use that number one pick from 2020 to use a guy who won't be available till 2020? You know what? That kind of does make sense, and I see that, but he's going to have to fall, I think, further than most people believe he's going to. I think he's going to go in the early 20s to another team that could use a mulligan like that. So he would be a guy that would definitely pique Dorsey's interest. But, again, it's a real big stretch commitment to get up that high.
Jeff, prioritize the Browns' needs 1, 2, 3, and then tell me who might be there at 49.
Yeah, I still think that offensive tackle for the long term is the biggest need. I'm not sold on Greg Robinson. He's on a one-year deal, and they don't really have anybody in the wings. So I think that is the biggest. They do need a young cornerback to pair with Denzel Ward. I think that's a big need. And I think linebacker still is a need. Joe Schobert and Christian Kirksey are fine as a duo. I'm not sold on any of the guys around them, and both of those guys have enough warts that you could consider, you know, maybe moving on. So I think those are it. Safety is still a big need too. That has to get in there. But I think they're okay with what they have at safety. We'll see what Morgan Burnett offers. I think they believe in him enough that they can do it between him and Eric Murray and fill that role. So I'm looking at, you know, cornerback is the easy one. You guys like Justin Lane out of Michigan State, Benedictine kid. David Long from Michigan, very, very good cover man. Doesn't necessarily make a lot of plays. Got to keep an eye on is Isaiah Johnson out of Houston, a converted wide receiver. He's only played cornerback for 2.5 years, 6'3", 210 pounds. Plays cornerback like he's still playing receiver, which is a lot of fun, but also a little bit scary. But, man, if you get that guy, you know, if it works for him, if it clicks, you've got a massive guy who's a perfect complement for what you need across from Ward. So there's a guy's there. Offensive tackle in the second round, that's a little bit dicier. Guy like Greg Little out of Ole Miss, who was very highly touted early in the draft process, has sort of fallen off a little bit. He makes some sense there. There's a lot of names. Cornerback safeties, guys like Darnell Savage out of Maryland, the guy who can play corner or safety. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson out of Florida, who's probably going to be gone. He makes sense if he's there. There's a lot of guys that fit that bill. I can still see him taking a defensive tackle, too. A guy like Draymond Jones, it's a little high for him, but I'll tell you what, he would be a nice fit in Steve Wilks' defense there, too.
It's kind of nice to be in a situation where you could pick any position group, you know, four or five of them anyway, and think, okay, well, we can see that, but without having one glaring need, Jeff. So it's a little different perspective for all of us.
Isn't it great not needing a quarterback?
Yeah.
It has completely changed the dynamics of this draft season.
It's stunning.
I, for one, am very happy about that.
Jeff, it's a pleasure to have you back with us. We appreciate it very much. Jeff Risden from Real GM, and you can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Risden, JeffRisdon. Jeff, appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.